Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And this morning, our Lord God is speaking to Job, and Paul is preaching a message again. Apostle Paul is telling us how we should take care of this gift that we have from God called a body, and that we don't treat it quite right. You know, we forget that we belong to God, and we should treat the body that we have with the respect that is due, because it belongs to God. We belong to God. And so this morning, as we move forward and lift up the name of Jesus, let us never forget this body, your body, and your spirit belong to God. How are you treating God's body today? It's just something to think about, and it really hit home with me. I'm like, oh, I'm probably not treating God's body the best that it needs to be treated. And am I giving my soul the nourishment it needs, which is the Word of God? So something to think about today as you go through your day before you eat those French fries. I drink that Coke, get that double cheeseburger. It's probably not the best way to treat this body that belongs to God. So, are you working out? Are you taking care of your body, your soul, and your spirit? Are you allowing the enemy to give you bad advice on, you know, getting those cute stilettos that you know are tearing your feet up, instead of maybe getting a more comfortable shoe? You know, those little things that we take for granted, we need to think about. Because until you've had issues with your feet and had to have surgery, cute does not always mean healthy. Tasting good does not always mean healthy. We got to think about what we put into, what we put on this body that belongs to God, what we put in to the spirit. Are you watching stuff you don't need to watch? Are you reading books you probably don't need to read? Are you studying? What are you, what kind of nourishment to the body of God? Just something to think about as we move forward this morning. Father God in heaven, we are so very grateful to be your children, Father, to be known by you, to know that you know every hair on our head. You know every thought that we think. You are the air that we breathe. Lord God, I look up and give you honor, glory, and praise this morning. And I ask you, Lord God, as I do every day, please increase as I decrease. Lord, please accept my humble heart as I give myself away for you to use me, Lord God. Use me for your glory. Remove all self from me. But Lord God, you are my strength. You are my Redeemer. You are my Father God, and I love you more than anything. And this morning, I lift my hands up. I lift my heart up. I lift every part of me, for this body is not mine. it is yours. Alight your Holy Spirit in me and use me, Lord, for your glory and for your kingdom. That someone listening to this word this morning may be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Again, giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I am so grateful that God has given me this assignment to study and to teach his word, which is magnificent, is all I can say. There is nothing like the word of God. There is nothing like God's word that can make your day feel better. When you read the word of God, your morning just seems to go better. Your day goes better. You go out with a pep in your step and praise in your heart. And I just tell you, I feel so much better when I have, if I get up in the morning, you know, because I don't do a blog on weekends, but I spend time with God on Saturdays. And I tell you, get out of bed until I've had some time with God, because it just feels better. You feel better. Your spirit feels better. It's just something about the word that does something to you. It just makes you feel good. I know it does me, and I hope it does you too. For there is nothing, nothing at all like God's word to just make you make a day. And I guess because it's God's body. It's the body of the Lord. And he wants his body to get the nourishment that it is due. So let's get started in the word this morning. And the word of God, 39 and chapter 40. And as we start this word, God is speaking to Job and to his friends. Because, you know, Job, you know, he's been talking a little arrogantly. His friends have been talking a little arrogantly. You know, they all had acted like they were God and were giving this advice like they were the ones that created the heavens and the earth. Like they were the ones that were sinless and didn't do anything, and that Job must have done something wrong. And then Job defended himself. You know, he spoke very eloquently, but again, not God. And some were speaking for God. Job had that just kill me and let me go kind of attitude in some instances, because I know I'm a good person. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. So why am I going through all of this? You know, I gave to the poor, took care of the widows. I never cheated anybody. Never did anything. And he was telling the truth. He was a good man. And he did follow all the rules, and he followed all the laws and the regulations of the word. But he still wasn't God. So God is speaking to Job and asking him a few questions. And this is what the Lord says to Job again. Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark his birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Or do you know the time when they're very young? Do you know when they bear young? They bow down. They bring forth their young. They deliver their offspring. Their young ones are healthy. They grow strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them. Who set the wild donkey free? Who loosed the bonds of the onagar? Whose home I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling? You know, God is asking some questions. You know, and sometimes we want to act like we know it all. We don't know, not even a teeny tiny bit of what God knows. We can't even create air, even though we think we can with our air conditioners and our fans and stuff. We can't do anything without God. We can't do a thing without God. And you look at the word or nigger, and that is a type of donkey. And it's, you know, it's a fun looking little animal. But God is letting us know that he created it. He's the one that set it free. So it's like a donkey. It's a wild donkey. And he's saying, who loosed his bonds? Whose home I have made the wilderness and the barren land his dwelling? He scorns the tumult of the city. He does not heed the shouts of the driver. The range of the mountains is his pasture, and he searches after every green thing. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will he bed by your manger? Can you bind the wild ox in the furrow with ropes? Or will he plow the valleys behind you? Will you trust him because his strength is great? Or will you leave your labor to him? Will you trust him to bring home your grain and gather it to your threshing floor? The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are her wings and pinions like the kindly storks? But she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot may crush them or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without concern because God deprived her of wisdom and did not endow her with understanding. When she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and its rider. Have you given the horse strength? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glistening spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he says, ha ha. He smells the battle from afar, the thunder of captains and shouting. Does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? On the rock it dwells and resides, on the crag of the rock and the stronghold. From there it spies out the prey. Its eyes observe from afar. Its young ones suck up blood. And where the slain are, there it is. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Damn. I think God has spoken. I know the Lord God has spoken. And the answer Job is about to give. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Would you indeed annul my judgment? Would you condemn me that you may be justified? Have you an arm like God? Or can thunder with a voice like his? Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look at everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. Look now at the big behemoth which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. See now his strength is in his hips, and his power is in his stomach muscles. He moves his tail like a cedar, and Sennacherib's thighs are tightly knit. Bones are like beams of bronze, his ribs like bars of iron. He is the first of the ways of God. Only he who made him can bring near his sword. Surely the mountains yield food for him, and all the beasts of the field play there. He lies under the locust tree in a covert of reed and marsh. The lotus trees cover him with their shade. The willows by the brook surround him. Indeed, the river may rage, yet he is not disturbed. He is confident, though the Jordan gushes into his mouth, though he takes it in his eyes, or one pierces his nose with a snare. A life lesson from Dr. Stanley. And again, for those that are just finding this Moving Forward experience, we are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. And this Bible is a Bible study. What we do is we read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. So basically, if you join this Bible study, you will read the Bible in 1 year. Every word, every nuance, everything. And it will include life lessons. It includes questions. It includes examples. So Dr. Stanley has pretty much covered everything you need to study the Word of God. And so I always have to disclaim, I am not being paid by In Touch Ministries or any ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley to say that you should buy this Bible. I feel in my heart and spirit that this is probably one of the best Bibles I have ever read in a year. I mean, we have on this blog gone chronologically. We have gone from the Hebrew Bible in the Old Testament to the Greek Bible in the New Testament. You know, we've read different Bible versions, you know, from King James to New King James, which is what I'm in now. And the Word of God is so important that we need to get it out to everybody that needs it. And we all need it. Because as the Word is saying this morning, this body that we are housed in belongs to God. And God wants us to take care of it, the soul of it, the mind of it, and the physical body of it. God does not want us to be hurting. Even if you are having a situation, understand God is in charge because he may be developing your soul. And that, you know, maybe you were busy and did everything. He has to set you down to use you to bless others when they see the joy that's in your heart. God wants to see the joy in our heart. He wants us to know that he is our God and he loves us. But understand, just like he's about to eat chastise Job verbally, because Job has been chastised and beat down. Because he was a good man. But understand that God loves Job. And he's wanting him to understand that things happen to good people. Bad things happen to good people. But all it does is make you stronger, makes you a whole lot wiser, and helps you to cope when things go bad in your life. And this is what Dr. Stanley says: Behold, I am bound what shall I answer you? Job was like, I don't have anything to say. What can I say? You know, and this is what says, even a blameless and upright man sees himself as vile when confronted by the majestic holiness of Almighty God. Yet we can come boldly into God's presence when he comes in faith, when we come in faith wrapped in Christ's righteousness. But Job, again, didn't know Jesus. So God spoke to them direct, had a word direct for them, because he wanted them to understand who he was. Job and his friends had to come to a realization, oh, wow, we are nothing. Job just said, I'm bow. You know, no friends are being quiet right now because they don't want the wrath of God directed in their direction. You know, we know how it is, you know, when you need that friend to speak up for you, they don't have a word to say. I don't have anything to say. Okay. She had a whole lot to say before the Master God came in, didn't you? Had a whole lot to say before you got confronted by God. But like I said, God has a whole lot more to say as we go through this word, and we will get to it. And like I said, I love this book of Job. It humbles you. It humbles you, and it gives you an understanding that when you're going through, you haven't been through anything until you go and read Job. Then you can talk about what you've been through. Boils all over your body. Lost your children. Lost your wealth. Been attacked. Laying around in dirt and ashes, because that's the only thing that gives you some kind of comfort. You think that through. Had to shave your head because you had boils in your head, boils on your feet. Couldn't even walk because you got boils on your feet. And anybody who's had one boil or seen a boil, I had to have a boil lance. Understand, it is no joke. A boil can kill you. We got to understand God is trying to get our attention. And then Job, it says, would you condemn me that you may be justified? We may not always understand God's ways, but we must never presume to judge God's ways. He is God of truth, and without injustice, righteousness, and upright is he. And we're going to go over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. And it says this, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. He is a God of truth, without injustice, righteous and upright is he. And as the King James Version says, he is the rock. His work is perfect. Understand, you are perfect because you are the work of God. For all his ways are judgment, truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. That was yesterday, back in the days of Moses. And if you read the word, it's the same today. Folks corrupt themselves. It says they have corrupted themselves today. Their spot is not the spot of his children today. They are a perverse and crooked generation today. We didn't learn from history. We keep still making the same mistakes. And I pray God every day, Lord, don't let me make the mistakes that I made yesterday today. Help me to be better today than I was yesterday. And that's what we need to ask God. Help us to be better today than we were yesterday. In verse 6, do ye thus request the Lord, O foolish people and unwise, it is not he that Father that hath brought thee. Hath he not made thee and established thee? And I say this, yes, he has. For we, this body, this soul, this everything belongs to God. And as we go into our Psalms, our Psalm is Psalms 101, verses 1 through 4. So Psalms 101, verse 1 through 4, if you'd like to read with me. And I, again, am coming out of New King James. And it says, this is a Psalm of David. I will sing of mercy and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. David was speaking because David had done some stuff. Let's call it straight. Messed around with a married woman. Got her pregnant. Tried to make sure that the father was the man who was her husband would think it was his. But the man who was her husband had more integrity than he did as king. And would not lay with his wife, would not have relations with her when the men on the front line was working to protect the kingdom. So he slept in a door. He slept in the king's house. He did not go home. He did not touch his wife. He was not led to temptation like the king. And so what did the king do? Because he knew that his mess was going to come out as she started to show. So what he do was send the man to the front line. Send him to the front line to die. Then what? Married the widow. And what happened? That baby died. But then God blessed him. Even with his mess, from his mess came a message because God blessed him with the Solomon. A wise king. Who again allowed a woman to mess him up. But in Solomon's case, women to mess him up. That he fell short. We got to trust God. Psalms 101, verse 2, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. It's one thing to behave in a godly way in public. When you know many eyes are watching, it's another to reflect his goodness and righteousness at home, where only family members see. God calls us to both. You can't be in church on Sunday. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. God is good and his mercy endures forever at all times. Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. You know, and then you go home and cuss out your children. You get on the phone and talk about everything and everybody in the church. Girl, did you see that dress that Sister Susie had on? You know she should not have had that dress on. That dress was too tight, and then she up there calling herself singing in the choir with all that cleavage showing. Come on. Girl, you know, even though they was good today and the Holy Spirit used them, but I know there was some men in the church getting distracted by that outfit that Sister Susie had on. You know, acting like she was slain in the spirit. She just wanted everybody to see that tight dress she had on. You know how folks do. And pastor, he thought he was preaching today. When you know he wasn't doing nothing but looking at Sister Susie. Heart. But at church, Sister Susie, girl, you know you looking so cute today. That dress is really, really cute. Oh, girl, I like your hair. It looks so nice. Did you just get it done? Girl, you know you look cute. You sure do. I just love me some Sister Susie. At home, I can't stand her. I can't stand her. Think she cute. She thinks she all this and all that. God sees your heart because it belongs to him. Psalms 103, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. How many affairs begin with just a harmless glance? David's did. Up on the roof, watching what's going on. He was all up in it, watching her babe, checking out how she was looking. Can you get her for me? Who is that? Now, you know up front that she's Uriah's wife. You know up front that she is off limits. But your eyes got you in trouble. And it says, how many deaths start with an envious gaze? How many addictive habits get rolling with prolonged exposure to the wrong thing? Everything that goes into these eyes goes to your soul. So it says in the eyes of what? It's a window to the soul. So if you're watching pornography, if you watching stuff dealing with witchcraft and wickedness and all those things, that if you out in the streets and you dropping it like it's hot Saturday night in the club, you trying to sing gospel the next day, it don't feel right because your soul wasn't right. And something's going to have to get a hold of you. And that something is God. Because this body belongs to him. Proverbs 23:29-30, it says, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Who? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. God is speaking this morning. The question is, are we listening? And our word for today is coming out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's get started in it. If there's anyone that God has put on your heart to speak, you have a word from the Lord, please push the number 1 on your phone and your line will be open. But this is Bible study. And if your Bible says something different that you would like to share, please don't hesitate to push the number 1 on your phone. And we can talk about it. Let's get into chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. And it says, a man against another go to law before the upright unrighteous. Anyway, taking your brother or sister in Christ to court and not before the saints. If somebody in the church has done something to you, they say you need, Paul saying you need to take to the church, take to the board. If my sister owes me money and I'm breaking the church up because I'm talking about her like a dog, that's something I need to take to the church board. Because why would I take them to court is what it's saying. Dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are at least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brothers. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, not covetous, not drunkards, not revelers, not extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one, which is why sexual intimacy should be between a husband and wife. Because you become one, you create a soul tie with everyone you are intimate with. And you become one with. You have created a soul tie with them. And soul ties are hard to break. To be very careful who you are with. That's why it should be with your husband or with your wife. Or you should just abstain and be a bride of Christ. And it goes on to say, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. There it is. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? But you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that is our word for this morning. That's the title of our lesson. It comes, your body, your spirit, and your spirit belong to God. This body, this spirit inside does not belong to us. It belongs to God. And when you stop and think, this body, this spirit belongs to God, you're going to treat it a little bit better. You're going to eat a little bit healthier. You're going to do some exercise, even if it's just walking down the driveway, down the street, around the corner, up the block, at the gym, whatever your exercise routine is, you are doing it for the glory of God, not yourself. And when we think about what I'm doing is for God's glory, it changes our mindset. It changes how we see things. It changes how we do things. It changes us. I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing it for God. Because again, absent from this earthly shell, That is our body. We are in the presence of God. Goes home. When it leaves this earthly shell, it goes home. And again, it will be judged. We will all be judged. And Paul said it, do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor executioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And, you know, I know there are some that's like, well, that's not politically correct. I'm not saying it. God's word is saying it. You know, so many folks want to get upset with the church because of what they say and that they're not inclusive. They're not this. They're not that. It is not the church that's speaking. It is the word of God. And the word of God tells you what thus says the Lord. So don't take, if the shoe fits, wear it. But understand what the word says. If I'm an enabler and I'm a drunkard, it's saying that I won't make it in either. I can't judge you if I'm out here drinking. I can't judge you if I'm out here stealing. I can't judge you if I'm envious and looking at everybody else's stuff and wanting to covet somebody else's stuff. I can't look at you if I'm out there committing adultery and fornicating and worshiping man instead of worshiping God, worshiping pieces of wood instead of worshiping God, worshiping the zodiac instead of worshiping God. We better understand that no sin is different than any other sin. And folks that want to talk about, they ain't going into heaven. But yet you sitting there drunk as a skunk. You're not either. You can't say they not going to heaven when you stealing from your mother, from your father, from your children. You can't say nothing if you're lying and cheating and not following one of the top 10 commandments. You know, we got to do some self-evaluation before we pop our hind in the judgment seat. Because only God can judge. Not me, not you, only God. And this is what the word says from Dr. Stanley. Is there a limit to God's forgiveness? And it says this, do you ever ask yourself, have I committed the unpardonable sin? Can I ever be free of the weight of this guilt? Will God forgive every sin? I have good news for you. Your loving Heavenly Father will forgive you all your sins. You can be released today from your sins if you will do what God says. The Apostle Paul dealt with an instance of gross sexual immorality in the Corinthian church. A man was sleeping with his stepmother. Against the backdrop, Paul wrote, do not be deceived, neither fornicators nor adulterers, idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for grace. This passage holds three great messages for us. If you want to write these down, and these are from Dr. Stanley, says, first, it tells us that sin is sin. Can the church say amen this morning? God doesn't differentiate between one type of sin and another. Most of us wouldn't consider slanders in the same sin boat as thieves, but sin is sin. Second, it tells us that sin is a lifestyle, a state of being. Paul declared that sin has been the identity of the Corinthians sin had been their all-consuming character. Paul called them former thieves, people who had stolen as a way of life. He didn't say some of you had won too many drinks on occasion. He said some in the Corinthian church were drunkards. Isn't just something you do, rather sinful. It's something you are from birth. Third, it tells us that all types of sins can be forgiven. Paul declared, and such were some of you. And then Paul reminded them that they were no longer who they had been, but they had been washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of God, the Corinthians, as sorry a group of sinners as ever came together as a church, found a new life and a new identity in Christ Jesus. Nothing, and I say this and I agree with Dr. Stanley on this, nothing is beyond God's forgiveness. No sin is too great or too awful for God to forgive. No person is so deep in sin, so ingrained in a wicked lifestyle, so steeped in evil that he or she cannot be saved. And I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for Jesus. Thank you, God, for forgiving all of us of our sins, because nobody, not one man on this earth, is perfect, because we're not God. But we are forgiven, and we are saved by grace. And all I can say is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for giving your life for my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping a door open for me to be forgiven for anything that I have done. Thank you, Jesus, being my Savior. Whew. And as life lessons, it says 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Paul had no interest in allowing the simple patterns from which he had escaped through God's grace to enslave him again. He didn't ask what's wrong with it as much as what's right with it. Something has gone dreadfully wrong when someone who professes faith in Christ continues to live according to the same simple patterns exhibited before salvation. You know, folks say they say, but still going to the club. Say they say, but still dropping it like it's hot. Say they say, but still sleeping with Junior. Say they say, but still living a fornicating lifestyle. Still living a lifestyle that they lived before they were saved. Still gossiping and talking about everybody, including their mama, their sister, their brother, their cousin, their friends and boo-boos them down the street, instead of praying for them, lifting them up and saying, you know, but understand, if that mama, brother, the boo-boo them down the street are causing you to fall back into sin, then you got to cut that tie and keep it moving. I'm sorry, and it sounds harsh. You pray for them, but you don't fall back into the trap with them. If they're doing drugs, you don't go to the party when you know that you had a drug addiction. You don't go to the hood when you know that there's something there that can cause you to stumble. We got to understand that God wants us to be better. He wants us to be better. He don't want us to fall back in the same horrible habits. And I'm not just speaking to you. I'm speaking to myself, too. Because God knows not one of us is perfect. Not one, but God. And when we go to 1 John chapter 2, verse, and I'm going to go up to verse number 1. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and that in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That's a word. John is speaking and John is preaching. If you get some time today, read all of 1 John chapter 2. It will enlighten you. It will change your mindset. And as we finish up and wrap it up this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which from God. But sexual sin damages and sabotages the very physical process that keep life going. It also tends to warp the human character at a very deep level. No Christian should say, it's my body. I can do what I want with it. No believer owns his or her body. Christ paid for it with his own blood on the cross. It belongs to him. And I say thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. And as we wrap up this morning, if there's anyone that has a word from God from this word this morning, please push the number 1. And again, the word for today is your body and your spirit belong to God. I belong to him. And that he loves me. As the song says, in spite of me. And as we continue today, a word from our sister in Christ. And this is simply this. Good morning. Be strong in the Lord. You have to be strong in faith. Again, to be strong in the Lord, you have to be strong in faith. Hearing the word of God strengthens your faith. Have a triumphant Tuesday. What a word. And I thank our sister in Christ for that word this morning. And just another word, this is my Bible verse for today. And it's this, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me, for I will call upon him as long as I live. And that's Psalms 116, verses 1 through 2. And I read it one more time as we get ready to wrap. And it says, I love the Lord. If you want to repeat it with me, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear to me as long as I live. That is a word to add into your arsenal, to add into your word that you keep close to your heart, that should be a highlightable and in your favorites, because it is a great word this morning. And again, if you get a chance to read 1 John chapter 2, also read Psalms 116. Both will touch your heart. So thank you, Father God, for this word this morning. Lord, I pray that it enlightened, it helped, it gave us understanding. Lord God, as we move forward this day, I say and I pray, Father God, please watch between me and thee. While we are absent one from each other, Lord, I ask you to watch over each and every person listening now or later. Watch over their families. watch over their businesses, watch over their finances, watch over their physical health, watch over their bodies, because their bodies belong to you. Lord God, I lift up, look up, giving you honor, glory, and praise, and thanking you for your mighty word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that it touched hearts, minds, and spirits, that someone who heard it who is not saved will say, what must I do to be saved? And they will confess, and they will allow our Savior Christ Jesus to come into their life. But they will confess that he is your son, that he died on Calvary's cross for our sins, and that by his blood we are saved. By his grace and mercy, we are made whole. And it is in his name I pray, looking up, lifting up, giving you honor, glory, and hallelujah, praise, O God. And I say, and the church says this morning, amen. Family, have a blessed and wonderful day. It is a wrap, because I will always be ready and willing, ready and available, presently praying for each and every one of you, for you are the sons and daughters of the Most High God. And above everything, he loves you in spite of you. He loves me in spite of me. So I thank whoever wrote that song. He loves me in spite of me. I love God, and I know he loves me. Because why? This body, this spirit belongs to him. Have a great day, family. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. And who do we work for? We work for God. Have a great day, family. For all my little kiddos that might be listening, have a wonderful day at school. For you are sons and daughters of the Most High God. Take care, family. It's a wrap.